Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yo, what up? It's April 19th, Thursday. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Just right off the bat, I'm just going to lay it out for everybody so they know what the deal is. I'm just, honestly, I'm not in the mood for this shit at all. I'm going to do the show. I'm going to try to be mildly entertaining. I'll have my guest on, AR Fox, at 10 o'clock. I have a lot of shit to talk about, but like I said, I'm really not in a fucking mood. So I'll do what I can. I'll try to spin it the best way possible, and we'll go from there. As you heard at the beginning of the intro with the Kevin Nash clip, CCW is doing the Kevin Nash seminar over there next door to the new Alhambra Arena tonight. So, you know, for those who want to learn how to politic people out of the fucking business and make more money than everybody while doing nothing, then you go down there and learn from Kevin Nash. That sounds like a great idea to me. Know that much. You know, be sure to ask him how much he's getting paid to be there and how long it'll take you to make that type of money to work a match. You know, do whatever it needs to do. A lot of just random shit. I'm going to go over best of the best. I attended that on Saturday. I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was a great show, pretty much top to bottom. Some stuff to talk about on that. Let me see, a little bit of Raw, honestly, not really a whole lot of Raw. I skimmed through it a little bit. I guess SmackDown, they're doing like a, like Tuesday type thing, but on my TiVo, fucking, it's not a TiVo, it's a DVR and it sucks, but on my DVR thing, it only tapes the Friday edition of it. I guess that's, you know, the replay. So I didn't see this week's SmackDown, but I saw last week's SmackDown. All I could say about that, I'm sure there's more I should be getting into, but I don't care. That Ryback cat, used to be Skip Sheffield. He, it's pretty entertaining to me. It might just be me. Maybe this is just my thing. This is like a direction that I've gone in more lately and whatnot, but I'm really digging crushers. Anyone that's in there and just beating the living shit out of the other guy in the ring, I'm kind of into that. So, yeah, I didn't have any tie to him whatsoever when he was Skip Sheffield, and I know a lot of people are shitting on the gimmick. He's got the RVD singlet or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, he's just going out there and he's ripping people's heads off, and I'm kind of a fan of that. There's been too much of this just same old choreographed bullshit match, you know, this, that, hip toss, this, that, fucking, you know, and then you get down towards the end, you get a couple false finishes, and then you get the pin with the fucking same fucking finishing move over and over and over on, you know, well, I mean, it's within most of wrestling, but it's, you know, mostly the TV product, that's what you get. Oh, God, Cena got to the ropes. Okay, oh, the reversal, oh, he got the fucking FU or the attitude adjustment or whatever. Oh, there he goes with the win. I'm just kind of tired of that shit. And if you can get a couple guys in there that hit people hard enough where you're like, wow, yeah, you might have just fucked him up. Or, you know, the other guy's got to take a bump that's severe enough, you know, to sell that shit. It makes it a little more interesting, more believable to me if you got one guy that's actually going in there and trying to, you know, or giving the illusion that he's trying to kill the other guy in the ring because, you know, it's choreographed fighting. So there's something amongst that, although I do like the lucha stuff, the back and forth, where it's obviously a lot more of a cooperative thing than anything else. I am also, you know, a big fan of it looking like one guy wants to kill the other guy. I think that's a good amount of where it actually started. So that's that. I could say that I like the dude just off of that look. Hopefully, you know, they keep doing that thing with him. Let me see. Well, I watched the two matches from Evolve. I watched the Key Generico match, and I liked the match a lot. I heard a lot of bad things about it, and then I heard that Low-Key was shooting on El Generico, saying how terrible he is after the match, and then I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, it doesn't sound like an accurate statement. I mean, you know, Low-Key's not always the most respectful guy in the world when it comes to his opponent, but I can't see him going through a match with a guy like El Generico and then just saying, hey, you have no talent. And as I watch the match, I'm like, clearly, this isn't what he's going to be saying at the end. This can't be what he's going to be saying at the end. And sure enough, you know, Low-Key gets the win. They were in Canada. So you got to understand that Generico was over throughout the entire match, was getting huge chants. And I could tell, you know, Low-Key was probably getting a little bit annoyed because he would hit his signature overly stiff, you know, offense. And normally where the crowd's just like, oh, fucking Low-Key. You got a couple of those, but for the most part, they were just back in Generico. And, you know, I think what happened in the end was the work, you know, and he's playing heel. But throughout the match, I could tell a little bit of frustration out of Low-Key, the fact that Generico is getting over tremendously. And, you know, I mean, might have been an act or anything, but watching Low-Key for all these years, I know he's used to the crowd just completely bowing to him, and it really didn't go that way in this one, likely because, you know, they were in Canada, Generico's from Canada, so it makes all the sense in the world. But yeah, after the match, and it wasn't the way people build it up, after the match, Low-Key just said, El Generico, you're not as good as you think you are. And walked out. I mean, that was as much as it was. You know what I mean? And that was that. Then I watched Fit Finley versus Sami Callihan in their third bout against each other. One happened in an Evolve show. The other one happened over in Germany, I believe. And this is the third one happened over in Canada. So was a really good built match. Work really, really stiff and, you know, slow, methodical, but stiff, hard-hitting stuff. More or less got kicked off. They did their little back and forth and, you know, posturing and standoffs and all that, and ended up where, you know, they did the corner spot where he has them backed up and they, you know, tease a clean break, and then Sammy just smacks the shit out of Finley. Well, Finley quickly responded with headbutting him in the face, and you know, just bust his forehead wide open. Just one quick headbutt, and he bust his forehead wide open. It was pretty fucking crazy, and yeah, the match just continued to go insane. Really, really good match. Finley came out on top again. So now he is, excuse me for yawning. He is now 3-0 against Sami Callihan, and yeah, that's what that is. But I'd recommend you, anybody out there, you know, a fan of either one of those guys, go check out that match. And, you know, after the match, Finley tried to put over Sammy, you know, saying, hey, you know, stop worrying about Sabu, stop worrying about this and that. You got what it takes. You need to fucking clear your mind, get your mind right. And you got what it takes. You need to focus and this and that. And Sammy just, you know, more or less no-sold it. They tried to get a quick comment out of him, and he said some shit along the lines of, what do you want me to say? I just lost and just bailed out. And that was it. You know, keeping the pretty strong heel type thing going. And that was that. I would definitely recommend everyone check out that iPay-per-view if it's still available, or I'd imagine it is. So yeah, there was those two matches, and I'm sure the rest of the card is good. I gotta go back and check that out too. But it's definitely worth it for those two matches alone. I didn't get it on iPay-per-view because I just wasn't. You know, initially I didn't get it on iPay-per-view the day it happened. My wife, I didn't watch it because I just didn't have the time for it on Friday. It wasn't going to be around the computer nonstop. So a couple days later, I picked it up over there. And, yeah, good thing. I think it's like WWNLive.com or some shit like that. Yeah, just go pick that up. Why not? Well, the other iPay-per-view that I did see, and... Well, yeah, let me get into that in just a little bit. Not just yet. Talk about some other stuff. Oh, Hulk Hogan is going to be up the road from my house. I'm talking like 2 minutes from my motherfucking house on Wednesday. This little bar around here, the Forked River House and shit. They try to get all hip and call it Foho. You know, makes you want to blow the fucking building up. But no, I don't. I'm not into breaking things apart into pieces like that. I'm really not the explosion type. But, you know, you get those kitschy names. You just want to see something bad happen. So anyway, yeah, Hogan's going to be over there. So at first I thought, hey, you know, maybe I'll stop by there, try to get a picture with him or something like that. Then I found out the prices. All right, any guesses? Okay. Well, his autograph would be $99. And then they have it listed for a photo op. It's $160. So, yeah, I'm not going. It's not going to happen. I can't comprehend where a guy thinks that, you know, just getting, standing there and having their picture taken with you or that type of thing or vice versa, it is really worth that much to anybody. I obviously a whole shitload of people are going to pay for it. I'm considering going just to see the turnout. Honestly, like, if I can go and get my camera in there, I'll just take a fucking handful of pictures of him standing there and fucking devouring people's fucking bank. Yeah, just devouring their motherfucking money. Just sitting there with a fucking knife and fork and just fucking eating people's wallets. Just fucking crazy shit. I mean, I might just stop for that. I mean, there's no cover charge on the thing, so I'm able to walk in. Whether they let me bring my camera in or not, that's probably the deciding factor of whether I turn right back around or, you know, whether I go in and just fucking fuck around, you know. Go in there, have a beer, and fucking laugh at people who are overspending money on a guy who's, you know, yeah, sure, iconic figure in the business, did tremendous things for the draw to the wrestling business, but in the same token, he's one of the most worthless pieces of shit today that you can possibly conjure up. I mean, what he's done to TNA, and obviously it's not all in his hands, but I have heard a good amount of people saying that, his influence on the booking is tremendous. His influence on the booking in WCW was tremendous, and there's been nothing that's kept him from getting things to roll the way he wants. And when you're talking about a guy his age and his talent level, I mean, you really can't bank on that shit being a good thing. That can't be a good thing. What the fuck does he know about current wrestling? You know, at his fucking best, he had fucking 5 moves. You know, I just, the way I see it, it's just like a complete waste of time, and it's just going to get whatever extra money that he can try to recoup from his fucking failed marriage, you know, and he'll do that on the fans' merit. You know, whether you guys want to pay for fucking TNA, you want to pay for his fucking $100 autograph, or any of that. I mean, you know, I'm not unrealistic. You got to figure, I'm a guy who, I already signed up for the, I prepaid for the Muda autograph joint that's going to go down in Rawway on June 1st. And that right there is $75. You get 2 autographs and a photo op. So, I mean, do the math between that and fucking what Hogan's asking, $99 for an autograph, $160 for a photo op. Now, that's just the way that they wrote it. So I'm not really sure whether it's $160 you get your picture and autograph, or if it's $160 just for the picture, and then, you know what I mean, like a whole nother $99 if you wanted an autograph. Hold on 1 second. So, yeah, I mean, that's just that, man. I can't imagine someone paying that amount of money, but I'm probably just going to go pop in there just to watch the fucking people that spend that amount of money. It's inevitable. I mean, there's just no, I can't wrap my head around what people spend their money on anymore. I really can't. Speaking of spending money, I just got my iPad today. So I have to figure out how to work that fucking thing within the next fucking 6 months. And then I'll be good. I'm probably going to do, for anyone interested, I'm probably going to do a little, mini-sode either over the weekend or early in the week just to test out this iPad once I get all settled in with it. So that way I could try to run the show from the iPad, and I could do, you know, the sound drafts, the switchboard thing from that. So I'm going to try to do that and, just see how it works and stuff. So I can go, you know, I don't want to say on location because I'm not really going anywhere but my backyard, but I don't have to be fucking planted in front of my computer. I could sit outside, burn a fire, fucking, you know, sit there, do the show, and all that. So, yeah, I'm going to be doing a mini-sode or so. Just more or less bullshit, test this thing out. I don't know if it'll be really worth listening to, but have at it. If you ain't got shit to do, why not? Why not? And that's that. Should be pretty interesting. It seems like a very, very nice thing to have. I just don't know a goddamn thing about it yet, so I'll work on that. I'm impatient, so it's, you know, I'd like to say it's a learning process, but I don't like that. So, yeah. Jersey All-Pro did a show over the weekend, same day as CZW. One thing I got to say about that, one of the only things I have to say about that, is it was a fucking asshole move. It was a complete fucking dickhead move of Jersey All-Pro to fucking bill it as last show ever. Not only our anniversary show, but this is the last one we're doing. This is the last one we're doing. This is the last one we're doing. This is the last one. Last ever World Heavyweight Champion. Last ever Tag Champions. Last ever, last ever, last ever. And then as soon as the fucking show's on, at the motherfucking show, Fat Frank starts talking about, well, actually, you know, we would do a May show, but, you know, the heat in the building because there's no air, and we're not really sure we want to compete with the other companies in May, but we're, you know, we would do the May show, but so because we're not going to do that, we're going to do, you know, October, November, and December. So they talked about doing a show the very next month after saying it was going to be their last fucking show, other than air conditioning, which was, in their words, the only reason why they weren't doing a show the month after that they fucking forced everyone to fucking believe this is going to be their last show. That's a douchebag move, to call a bunch of people to a fucking building saying, hey, last time ever, we're closing up, we're closing up, we're closing up, get everybody in the fucking door, and then be like, yeah, so see you guys next month, right? That's fucked up. I think that's a shit move. You know, like, there's a good amount of people who might have been, you know, diehard Jersey All-Pro fans that would have liked to go to Best of the Best, but seeing as it was the last show of Jersey All-Pro, damn, just can't miss this. And, you know, from what I've seen on paper, it was a fucking pretty lackluster card, other than, you know, the Philly's Most Wanted versus Kingston and Homicide and Low-Key Moth. There wasn't a whole lot of shit on that card that I'd be fucking going out of my way for, but if I was a diehard Jersey All-Pro fan and I knew that this was their last show, I probably would have attended it just for the sake of saying, hey, man, fucking, I ain't going to miss their last show. I'm a diehard fan and all that. So, yeah, I mean, what the fuck? Yeah, yeah, well, now, we would run next month, but, you know, the air conditioning. What do you mean the fucking air conditioning? You just said it was going to be your last show. You get motherfuckers in the building, and it's like, oh, yeah, it was fucking, well, I would run next month, but, yeah, you would run next month, but you just told everybody this is a motherfucking last show.
Jesus!
Just retarded. Just retarded, and it's just such a fucking a scam to get people in the fucking building, and I think that's fucking classless. It's completely classless. So, you run your fucking October, November, December shows. I'm sure you'll be running up against Cage of Death, because you're always the smartest businessman in the world, because, you know, clearly running a fucking show up against Best of the Best is just an awesome idea for both companies. You know, I mean, it just always helps out business if one of the other big indie companies are running the same fucking day, you book your big anniversary show that same day. Jersey All-Pro is fucking notorious for that shit. And, you know, then you have all this talent that has to make a choice. You know, where do we work? Shit, they're on the same day. Instead of those guys getting two fucking paydays, now they're like, well, I got to make a choice. Got to check out where the money is. Got to check out where everything is. You know, what's the booking like? What's this like? What's that like? You know, all for the sake of fucking two owners not being able to, like, work around each other. And it's definitely fucking on purpose, because it's happened far too many times with Jersey All-Pro and CZW. I don't know what Fat Frank's hard-on for fucking double booking on CZW days is. I don't know what it is. Because, I mean, any idiot knows that for the most part, CZW runs second Saturday of the month. Jersey All-Pro runs, like, every fucking 3 months or some dumb shit like that. If that. Like, I think the last show they ran was right around the time of my last birthday in 2011, like March 2011, I want to say. Might have been, like, another show, like, a month or two after that, but that was it. And then the very next show they run, they pick fucking Best of the Best weekend, and they run that shit. So, I don't understand it. I don't see where anyone considers that good business. If you could have got another five fucking fans running it the next weekend, why not run it the next fucking weekend? I just don't get it. I really don't get it. Not only that, I mean, not that they should be ducking and dodging around every company that runs, but, you know, there's a lot of bullshit. Like, just a lot of little local shows and stuff like that, and it just... Talent always has to fucking decide, and then they sit home with fucking nothing to do on fucking two Saturdays out of the month. Well, why does that need to happen? You know, fans got to make their decision, fucking, and you know, if the money is limited and the fans got to make their decision anyway because there's two shows that month and they can only afford one, well, then allow them that decision. That's fine. But if you're running two shows on one day in two different places at the same time, we can't support both shows if we fucking wanted to. So it's kind of an arrogant asshole way to run a fucking company, in my opinion, especially when you tag on the last show and see you next month. Wait, no air conditioning. We'll see you in a couple months. Like, I'll be mad as motherfucking going into a building. Oh, last time ever. Fucking. I mean, Granted, I mean, a lot of this shit is going to be, you know, different. It's not going to be the same and everything like that. And, you know, they were able to put together a couple really good cards for it. And nostalgia-wise, the building's not going to look the same. But I guarantee you, there will be more fucking shows in Viking Hall or New Alhambra or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then when they do that, oh, that big last ever fucking wrestling shows in the building. Oh, man, kind of got beat there. So, but that one actually makes more sense because, like I said, the nostalgia, the building looking the way it does when it's all redone and this and that. I'm not saying I have any control or fucking knowledge of any of this. I'm just saying, like, the building reopens, they'll do whatever they're doing for a little while, and then they'll have open dates. I'm sure they'll have open dates. And fucking being a huge wrestling, you know, joint for all this time, you know, I'm sure people are going to put in bids. Hey, you know, can we run there? What's it going to cost to run there? Can we do, you know, just off of people like to run in that building, it's a good draw, all of that stuff. So it's probably going to happen, but it's not quite as douchey as when you get this last show ever. Well, except for next month, you motherfucker. This is why they don't allow glass bottles in fucking wrestling shows, because there's fucking announcements like that, because the motherfucker should be sailing. So anyway, there's that. Oh, I started to bring it up last week, and I think I got cut off, or I stopped talking about that and started talking about something else. I don't know what the fuck I do anymore. But those jerk-offs over at ECWA are still using that fucking registered sex offender as a camera guy. And the thing is they removed his name from the website completely. A friend of mine who does camera work as far as pictures go talked to the owner, and the owner pretty much told him we had him bring in all his court paperwork, and I feel safe using him. Okay, you feel safe using him? So does that mean it's legal to have him fucking around a bunch of kids? It's legal to have him in the building? Or you just feel safe? So, and I even emailed the owner, Mike, whatever the fuck his name is, and that wasn't the email I didn't send to Mike, whatever the fuck his name is. I forget his last name, but I did send a message to him, and I just simply said that, you know, how come you're still using this fucking registered sex offender when you claim to have not known it first? Once it was brought to your attention, you know you were wrong because you removed his fucking name from your website completely, yet you're still using him like nothing's wrong. And, of course, I got zero response from Mr. Businessman, who not only does he run ECWA, he runs kind of like a hair club for men type thing. That's like his main job. It's not hair club for men, but it's something similar for, you know, bald men to get their fucking hair back, and, you know, and then he runs the other one that, you know, has registered sex offenders fucking filming the show. So he runs a lot of great fucking upstanding, respectable businesses out there. I encourage everyone to fucking continue to call these fucking Boys and Girls Club and look wherever fucking ECWA is running and continue to fucking call there and tell them Jason Skinner, their fucking camera guy, who will be in the fucking building running around the ring like a Fruit Loop, he's a registered sex offender. Check his fucking paperwork. Anyone of you got a fucking smartphone, pull his fucking picture up on the shit and show these fucking people. You know, send emails, do whatever you need to, because the fucking owner of this company clearly knows he's wrong and decided that he can completely get the heat off himself by just deleting the guy's name from his fucking, his website. So now the guy will film the shows, he just doesn't get, written credit for it. Or, you know, he could run around putting flyers on people's cars and pushing everything and this and that. And as far as I know, too, he also deleted his fucking Facebook. So, I mean, like, everybody knows it's wrong, otherwise there would have been no changes made. Nobody fucking says, everything's fine, go fuck yourself, and then changes a whole bunch of shit. you know you're wrong. That's why. It's exactly why you motherfuckers are changing things. Yeah, it's something else. It really is. I can't even wrap my head around it. Why people would actually act like that and take a risk? Because honestly, the whole fucking company could be shut down, or at the very least, lose their right to work in every fucking building that they go to. And then, you know, once you run through building after building after building, eventually you run out of buildings, and you know, people stop fucking calling. People stop fucking answering the phone for your shit. So, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, if that means anything to anybody. I really don't. I got to continue to put it out there because I think it's completely wrong that they're using this fucking guy. This guy is that fucking arrogant, and he just thinks that he could just continue to do what he wants to fucking do, and there will be no repercussions because, no, I own this motherfucker. I'm the owner. I'll do what I want. I feel safe. You feel safe? Oh, shit. That's crazy. That's like just allow tons of illegal shit and then just be like, all right, well, I feel safe. You do? That's something else. You're feeling safe, huh? Huh. All right. Well, I guess let me just quick run through the few things I had to say about Raw, because it's really not much. Raw, they started out with CM Punk versus Mark Henry, which I thought was pretty impressive just for the sake of them starting out with a match. And I thought they did a good match there. You know, they're working this Extreme Rules angle and all that, so they did a lot of little chair work and stuff like that. Punk ended up winning with a top rope elbow drop with the chair, you know, tucked under his arm, drive joint. And, they did that thing. That wasn't bad. I could definitely take more of that. That's cool. I'm not sure. I mean, this Extreme Rules pay-per-view, kind of interested in it, you know. Not interested in paying for it, but when am I ever? So that's that. They had a Brock promo. They had all sorts of... I was really surprised by it. I was going to clip it, but I decided, fuck it. Like most of what I've been thinking lately. They had him cutting a promo, like a vignette type thing. They had, you know, the clips in the background, and then they had, you know, him on the interview type thing. And he's saying that, like, you know, I didn't come back for the fans. I didn't come back for this and that. I kick ass, and I want to beat the shit out of people. This is what I do. I dominate. I want to continue to dominate. That was, like, his whole theme behind it. I thought it was pretty cool the way you put it, and, you know, playing the big heel and shit. And I thought it was pretty interesting that they actually mentioned the UFC, or they allowed the mention of the UFC, because he said how, you know, people thought I couldn't survive in the UFC, and then I went there and I became the UFC champion and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, wow, they just let him do that. That's something else. Okay, we'll go with that then. That's, yeah. All right. So, like I said, I was pretty surprised by that. But, he's more or less saying, yeah, you know, I bust Cena's face because that's how I do. I fucking bust faces. I love that shit. Eat people like Cena for breakfast or whatever the fuck else he said. You know, some old big fucking meathead tough guy shit. You know, so, looks like a fucking street shark or a battletoad or something. Joey Numbers actually coined the battletoad phrase, and I think it's pretty fucking accurate. That was that. And then main event, they put Lord Tensei up against the John Cena. And I was pretty happy with that, too. I mean, he went from just squashing people to going main event. And they did Extreme Rules again and all that. So you had Otunga got involved. you know, and then that was the distraction that got Lord Tensei the win. I gotta say, too, I like this Lord Tensei shit. I've been saying it since it started. I like it. Everybody who's running around going, Albert wasn't that, but I don't really like Albert that much. Why do they gotta use Albert like he's a tough guy? Let me fucking tell you something. Like, what he did as Albert, that was cool, whatever the fuck, but it comes right down to it. This guy was killing it as Giant Bernard in motherfucking in Japan. He was up against some of the baddest motherfuckers out there, and then all of a sudden, he's working strong style, coming back, and they're like, who the fuck does Albert think he is, and fucking why are they pushing Albert, and Albert, Prince Albert, and A-Train, and people are chanting A-Train, and then, you know, you get all these people, so, oh, they're ruining him, they're ruining him with all of this, because they're calling him out on what he used to be, and like, so what, so fucking what? Oh, he's fucking Albert. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You fucking unmasked that disguise. Oh, that's fucking amazing. That's amazing. You guys figured out that that's Albert. Everybody go get a cookie from the kitchen, sit the fuck back down, and watch this fucking guy in the ring, for Christ's sakes. Another one, like I said, I like the fucking big crushers. I like something that gives you someone that should be feared, not just a bunch of guys fucking kicking each other in the leg and fucking, you know, doing victory rolls and schoolboys and shit. And again, I'm cool with that. Honestly, I like the fucking cruiserweight style probably more so than most wrestling that I've watched overall. But the other, I like a variety of styles of wrestling within a company. So you need the crushers. You need the beasts. You need somebody that their music hits and the other guy in the ring, you know, not John Cena because he really doesn't sell that type of thing, but you know, their music hits and the guy in the ring's jaw dropped and his jaw drops and his eyes get wide and he looks at the fucking entrance before the guy even comes out like, oh shit. That's what you need. That's part of the element that I feel that you need in wrestling is something where it should strike fear into another competitor's heart. And then, you know, you get into the match and you work to the smaller guy's strengths and you work to the bigger guy's strengths and it becomes a match, but there needs to be some kind of suspension of disbelief where that big motherfucker is going to hurt him. Something other than just, well, I hope he gets the first schoolboy because otherwise, just that other guy's good with his schoolboy. Like, oh, fuck. Well, yeah. So, I mean, that was raw. I mean, obviously there was other shit that happened. I just don't care to go through the whole thing. I'll repeat it again. I'm just not in the mood for this shit tonight. Honestly, I think if I didn't have a guest tonight, I would have just fucking postponed the show or something because I'm just really fucking annoyed tonight. But I'm going to play a track, take my break, and then I'll come back and I'll run down best of the best. All right. Rat to the motherfucking cat, how I suck this much love for niggas that's sippin' up in the dark, yeah. Cause I'm a crooked nigga too, like fuck. I do a 187 with this motherfucking Glock. Kept you in the body, had to break the cat off in his ass at the party, nigga. Crazy as fuck, I thought you knew me. Used to put the bullets up in the motherfucking OG, bitch. A OG nigga, so I got a G.O. and creep slow and get the nigga while he's steppin' out his car, yo. Bang, I let my nuts hang, shoot like my Mustang, and let this motherfucking death sing. A bloody clock in a pocket full of rocks, got my shit on top, cause my flame don't stop. In the darkness, I ain't the nigga who's sitting like it's a clipping. So dunk it in the gap like Scottie Pippin. And watch these niggas swing like bitches. I break them off something proper and dump the asses and dicks. 187, dump the niggas up the autograph from the nigga killer lunatic. 13 foot of 30. Fucking him as a gang when I get my hands dirty. Nigga, you wanna squab with the Nina? Coming up on a
the cola and the cash and the money. Cause the nigga dirty.
Ain't nothing but the niggas up in the city. Got a fat Nina for the player.
187, he wrote another motherfucking walk by in your hood. I broke the cat in his ass because it's all good. And now the poison blue when I come out. Got the motherfucking East Bay gangster murder master. I'ma make that bacon drop. If they keep following me around, fucking off my endo high. They don't know the shit. 187 is the nigga you're fucking with. When I was young, I used to get my gun, fuck with the GTA, and bust a day out for fun. Put the piggy in a blanket, and when the GTA stall, I'm fucked till I crank it. Then I'm 187,000 G, with a warrant on my head, laying D-E-A-D. My chrome gets shine like a sword. One motherfucker sent off to the moor.
187 dumping niggas up in D.C. Fat Nina for the play, I hate you bitches. 187 dumping niggas up in D.C. Got a fat Nina for the play, I hate you bitches. 187 dumping niggas up in D.C. Fat Nina for the play, I hate you bitches.
Nigga, straight motherfucking G in my track. My nigga G-Nex, Omar, DJ motherfucking X-Star. 187 back, dumping motherfuckers and bitches in my track. Motherfucking team. You know what I'm saying? Niggas straight doing a gangster shit.
Alright. Oh, something I wanted to actually say a little earlier, but again, I'm not talking about. I want to give a rest in peace shout out to Paul Rose. For those who don't know this dude, you know, some people called him Grandpa Glitter. Some people called him Honka Horn. Some people knew him as the Give It To Him guy. This guy was a wrestling fan that everybody has seen at some point or another. You know, in a building, you know, where you were out there watching wrestling, this guy was walking around the building, and you definitely noticed him. He was definitely a very, very noticeable character, a guy who was a loyal, loyal fan to wrestling, and just continued to support. I mean, it amazed me how many shows I went to that he just was there, just nonstop. But yeah, he passed away recently, so I want to give a rest in peace shout out to him. A lot of people knew him more so than I did, but I definitely knew that he was a loyal, loyal supporter of wrestling, and you gotta love that, so rest in peace. But let me see who this is on hold.
Hello?
Yo, yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, I saw you talking about Paul Rose, and, you know, this guy, I seriously have some good memories with this guy. I mean, I've known this guy since I was, like, around 13, 14 years old, you know, and I remember when I first saw him back in the day, it was, like, 2004. I don't know if you're familiar with Cyberspace Wrestling. When we ran back in the day of 2004, Billy Firehawk ran the promotion back in the day.
Okay.
And I remember when he went, when Cyberspace Wrestling used to run there, I always used to see Paul there, and, like, you know, he was the most kind of like, besides me, he was kind of the most like lively in the crowd. You know, he wore his masks back in the day. He wore the dick nose. I mean, and, you know, from there on, you know, I kept seeing him in every show. He started talking to me. I was like, you know, hey, you know, you go to a lot of shows. Huh? And he's like, oh yeah, I go to a lot of shows. I'm like, how do you find out about these shows? He's like, you got to go to WrestlingClothesline.com. And he was telling me about all these shows coming up, you know, ones in Queens, Combat Zone. He was telling
right.
me the trips he used to take to Tony Luke's Philly Cheesesteaks when he went to CZW. And, you know, he used to, you know, from then on, I kind of became a really good friend to Paul. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
when I was like, I haven't, you know, four years later, you know, after 4 years, I became a good friend because I saw him again 4 years later after this guy, I think, and this promotion called NWA New Jersey ran
right.
in, like, you know, ran in the Wayne PAL, and I saw him again, he's like, hey, I remember you from 4 years ago. And I was around like 20 then, and I was so glad that he remembered me because I was hoping he would remember me. Because I used to see this guy at like Hooters, pay-per-view, you know, for pay-per-views and Wayne, and, you know, he used to tell me, you know, like, he used to be like, he was like, hey, I remember you, and I was like, yeah, I remember you also. From then on, I saw him again in Union City at the Ace Arena when Evolve 4 was running there. And from then on, every Thursday, he would always call me, and, you know, he would be talking for like, you know, 30 minutes on the phone every Thursday, Wednesday. He would tell me what shows he's going to. And I'll never forget this one time of him. It was a really good time memory of him. Actually, two. I decided to go into New York City, Manhattan for Dragon Gate, June 5th show. And I went with Paul, and I went with his friend, Marty. And I parked my car in Union City. It took us around 10 minutes to get into the city. You know, he was a really funny character, you know. I mean, Paul, he loved to eat, you know what I mean? He was a guy who enjoyed food, you know what I mean? And yeah, I remember one time he would be walking, we walked the whole block of Manhattan just to find a Nathan's, and there was a hot dog place on the street, and he's like, I want to get Nathan's, you know, and,
yeah.
I remember one time, at WSU, when, Amy Lee was in the ring cutting a promo,
yeah.
I was sitting right next to Paul when Rick Cataldo, I don't know if you remember this angle, but Cataldo came up to Paul and started dancing on him and stuff.
I haven't seen that much of WSU, but
yeah,
I know who they
are. All of a sudden Amy Lee started, you know, calling Paul, you know, hey, look at this ghetto grandpa, you know. And Paul starts, you know, giving him the finger, and all of a sudden Rick Cataldo comes up. You know Rick Cataldo?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he starts dancing on Paul and everything, and, you know, he starts, Paul starts trying to move away, you know, and, but yeah, I mean, he used to tell me about the shows he used to go to back in the 50s, 60s, I mean, this guy was probably one of the most respected wrestling fans in Northern Jersey, you know
How
what
old
I mean?
Was
like,
Paul?
Paul was, I think, 75 years old.
Wow.
And, out of all the people who I looked forward to seeing at wrestling shows, Paul was one of the top because there was really no other wrestling fan like Paul around the North Jersey area that respected independent wrestling. You know what
right.
I mean? He would be at every single show. He would be at NWS, Chikara. I've heard stories about him going to Chikara, and people in Chikara would see him on DVDs when I saw him on a lot of DVDs too, you know. I mean, he was a pretty good person that, you know, outside of wrestling, you know, you got to know him as a good person, you know. I mean, he would always call you up, you know, he was just a really good guy, you know. I still, you know, finding out yesterday that he died to this, I mean, even tonight, man, I can't even believe he died. Because, you know what I mean? It's just so, you know, like, he made the crowd, like, he was just, you know, he made the crowd so lively. You know what I mean? Like, his ghetto look, his dishes, everything.
I mean,
he
definitely stood out. And that's why I had no clue of his age, because, I mean, he dressed young. I mean, he didn't look like the oldest guy in the world, but definitely older than he dressed. And, I mean, he definitely had a life about him, and he was definitely one of the more into the wrestling and, went out of his way to get to so many different shows. So, his age would have been, I couldn't have guessed it if I tried, but, man, I didn't.
Right.
I was surprised to see that he passed, and,
you know,
it's
just
a shame.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he used to tell me he used to go to the Garden for Hope for WWF back in the day. You know, I mean, just a lot of good memories with him, you know, and, I remember one time in cyberspace, there was a Halloween contest. He came into the ring because, everybody was having their Halloween costumes on, and I remember, you know, there was one little kid with John Cena, one kid with some other thing. I was like, I was a murder victim, and Paul was a, Paul put on his mask. He was still in the ghetto outfit. He had the Wolfman mask on, and I was, you know, some of those memories, you know, I won't forget, because you see, Paul was a friend to me, you know what I mean? And like, you know, he's a guy that I'll never forget. You know, he left a lot of good memories in me. You know, he's gone, but I'll always, you know, I'll always remember him as somebody who always cheered me up at wrestling shows on days when I wasn't having really a good day. You know?
Right.
Like, you know, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's just, you know, I've only wrestled shows, you know? Wow. So, you know,
I definitely wanted to, you know, give a shout out to him, and you know, I'm glad you were able to share some stories with us about him and everything like that, because like I said, a lot of other people knew him better than I did, and you know, it's good to hear that. So
man, he was a really good guy. You know, if you knew him, you know, he would be the guy to, you know, talk to for anything. You know, he was just a real, he would tell me, you know, I asked him one time, like, hey, where do you get all your necklaces from? He says, oh, a guy makes it for me for $20. Every time I was at a different show, you see him in, like, a Tasmanian devil necklace. He had a cross, everything, a necklace, all kinds of necklaces he had.
Yeah.
He was a real classy guy, you know. He dressed, like, so good, you know. You know, he was a real classy guy, so, you know.
But yeah, man, thanks for definitely all the memories on that and everything. And I got my guest coming on shortly, so, you know, I don't want to cut you off or anything, but.
All right, I'm really excited for AR Fox. You know, when I saw that match on Saturday against AR Fox, he's still went on with his ear bleeding, you know. That was just a really good match I saw, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, I've seen AR Fox wrestle so much, and he's definitely a really good athlete. You know, you see him coming up on the top rope doing the flips and everything. There's really not a wrestler like AR Fox, you know. Not a wrestler
Definitely. Yeah, I'm gonna get into the whole best of the best probably afterwards and everything else. I mean, if you want to ring it back up later on, you know, go ahead. You know, we'll be on. So, like I said, I'm just waiting on the guests in a little bit. So, more or less, I mean, if you want to call back in later on, have at it.
I'll definitely call back later. I'll have some questions for AR Fox and everything, you know.
Awesome, man.
And,
just wait towards the end of the interview, if anything.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, man.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks, man. Keep listening.
No problem.
All right, man.
Yeah, good stuff. And that's that. Oh, one more thing I want to add about Jersey All-Pro being a bag of douche. They complain and they hem and they haw about May and all the air conditioning and this and that. But let's not fucking forget that they ran that New Japan show last year without a fucking whine in their fucking body in May, didn't they? I tend to think they did. So I think that was last year, wasn't it? So, there's some stuff they find a problem with the air conditioning. And then there's some stuff where it's just, you know. So, that's what that is. Let me see what else is going on. Talked about that. That fucking ECWA douche. Talked about that. Like I said, the PWS thing going on June 1st. Pretty excited about that. See Muda again. You know, it's been a while. I saw him back in, I don't know, what the fuck was that, 03, 02, some kind of shit with the Final Battle when they did that. And I got it on my wall. Let me go look over here. I got that fucking autograph from back then. Jesus. Yeah, the date's cut off because the ticket's ripped. Well, the doors opened at 6:30, I could tell you that much. But, yeah. Still, I got the ticket in the frame with the fucking autograph. But, you know, what are you going to do? It should be good. I just look forward to seeing that dude. I really don't give a shit about too much more. That's more or less what I'm paying for. So, yeah, what else do I got? I don't have any fucking clue. Well, fuck it, because I got a lot of tracks pulled or whatever. So I'm going to play another track. Hopefully my guests will be online when I come back, because we're nearing that 10 o'clock hour. So I'll play another track there. And then let's see where we go from there. Let me see what tracks I got, because I got a few. Oh, I know this is horrible radio, and I'm just like, okay, well, just listen to me fucking fumble. All right? You hear it? Isn't that great? Fucking shit. Oh, Jesus. People put up with me every week. That's amazing to me. Somehow that just fucking boggles my mind that people continue to listen to this shit. Well, what are you going to do? Okay, here's another track, and then come back. Hopefully have our guest on shortly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and my man Constance, rallying troops like Joseph Stalin. Where you at, yo?
I'm about to make the name Constance the name you fear. Y'all niggas is scared. I'm your worst nightmare square.
And I'ma make the name Cannabis the name you fear. Y'all niggas is scared. I'm your worst nightmare square.
That's double for niggas who ain't mathematics aware.
Yo, yo,
yo.
I can tell by how you write. You the type to run in a fight. I hold mics while you hold spike. Like a broken hearted bitch. Don't give no fuck who your team or who you started with. Cameo to charter with. I house niggas like apartments with. Mic mechanism, side dissectorism. Move crowds with kinetic wisdom. It's like a Malcolm exorcism. Fuck the rhythm, I hit them. I want them got, not get them. Off this whack ass.
I'm creating the ultimate verses with perfect lines. Putting together the web of my rhyme one thread at a time. So you niggas need to stop testing me. Cause you know you can't F with me. Stepping to me with superior weaponry. Exposing yourself to the verbal radiation. Saying you can defeat me is nothing but speculation. Lyrics unravel faster than bullets travel through barrels. Niggas be digging my styles like fossils and pterodactyls. Who wanna battle? I'm bad to the bone marrow. The earth got one sun, but I walk with three shadows. With a law, my supernatural bodyguard. Niggas couldn't touch me if they gave me a massage. And seas will compete with lyrics and beats get crushed. I hit you in your chest so hard the shoulders will touch. What? What?
Step to me is like going to the county being a new crime.
Yo, check it. I pursue sound fares. Relax like Drew down here. Other niggas' rhymes are like gang signs. I throw down there. Or not, I landed. Players get played like Hamlet. Supposedly nice. Take it for granted like life. I write twice and drop singles to record pools. Niggas, I'm dunking like what cops mingle. Fuck hip hop jingles. Rhyming big words and not saying shit. Click that you came in with. Accent you flavor with like moose. I go to the caves to get niggas off R4s. I'm the shit that's uncalled for. The shit that you fall for. Far more advanced than the rapper whose career you could only take a glance. Couldn't make the transition from B-boy to see no sand. I said enough to come for risk of humbleness, but in the shop humbleness, mistaken as a weakness, with poetry's emotion like a picture, I'm the main feature. Amongst hard working teachers and corrupt preachers, I make my living off of singles like Latifa, in between sheets like Reaper with blunt intentions. You couldn't make a statement if you was from a sentence. I'm cold with numb intentions.
Yo, the cannabis is the animal with a mechanical mandible coming to damage you, spitting understandable slang at you. I be the all-seeing lyrical, hammerhead sharp peripheral with 360-degree visual. When the signal is given, MCs get bitten with venom from a poisonous algorithm liable to kill them. My style will get in them, way up in them. My face don't belong in the source. It belongs on the shroud of Turin for certain. I grab my murder shit. It's wicked as Satan worshipers going to Catholic church services. You heard it in the lyrical verbal. Slash herbalist, the wrath of my cold-blooded verses is merciless. Rap snaps with your ass crack like bear traps. Contaminate your air sacs like tear gas. And I swear, black, try to batter me, you won't last. I turn your ass into the artist formerly known as a gay-ass bag. I blow you to ashes with tactics. Strip you naked and make you hug your cactus, you bastard. It's so fat to be a rap star. Taking pictures at music seminars. People know who you are. Now I got mad shorties, the one
wanna call me because they saw me up in the sauce, chilling on page 40. Put this in your CD-ROM, www.cannabis.com. You can find me on the internet, talking to chicks that will sweating me off the music, making me high remix. I be talking mad rap, trying to get them to laugh. See if I click and drag long enough, I get the ass. Bring it back to the lab on Mount Prospect Ave. Let your chicken suck me off and send it home in a cab. You know how we do, liquid aluminum like the D2. A beast from the east, part 2, coming to see you.
Time I made the name, time since the name y'all fear. Y'all niggas is scared, I'm your worst nightmare square.
Now that I made the name cannabis, the name you fear. Still scared, I'm your worst nightmare square.
That's double for niggas who ain't mathematically aware.
Get another sucker duck MC out there.
Since I made the name, time since the name y'all fear. Y'all niggas is scared, I'm your worst nightmare square.
Since I made the name cannabis, the name you fear. Stay scared, I'm still your worst nightmare square.
That's double for niggas who ain't mathematically aware.
Get another sucker duck MC out there. Get another duck, a duck MC out there. Get another duck, a duck, a duck, a duck MC out there.
Yeah, man, there you go. Some common cannabis back in the day shit. So yeah, I guess you'll be calling in any minute, and pretty much know he's gonna be calling in any minute. And yeah, like I said, I'm gonna get into the best of the best after that. But you know, big guest here with a Fox and everything. So let me see what goes on here. Just give me 1 minute. Let me see. Don't see the number just yet. Should be momentary. I gotta see the number and then I click on the motherfucking thing. But yeah, it's I guess that I'd like to have on for a while. I've been, you know, back and forth with AR for a while, trying to get him on the show. Obviously, tremendous in-ring performer, so I definitely interested in hearing a lot from him, and, you know, we'll see how it goes, you know. Let me just check over here. I got a... Yeah, Fox is in best of the best. Like I said, later on I'll get into the whole best of the best and how I felt about it, match in, match out. But yeah, first round, he was in there against, let me see, Jesus. He was up against ACH and Lince Dorado. Second round, he went up against Samurai Del Sol and went into the finals where he lost to Sammy Callahan. So, yeah, that was that. Let me hit him with the number one more time. Make sure it's all good there. Yep. So, yeah, just should be just a minute, and we'll be on with him. But, yeah, just... I'm going to get into the best of the best stuff. I don't want to jump ahead of myself and start talking about that, even though it's obviously on the tip of my tongue because it was the last show I saw live, and I always like running that shit down from front to start. Right, Paul? Great radio, he's telling me. Yep, great radio. Fuck yourself. I don't need this shit. Fuck you, Tank. Oh, man. It's kind of crazy. For Christ's sakes, I just got a message from Fox like a minute ago saying, yo, I'm calling, what do I do? So I'm trying to explain to him. The same token, I'm not getting a number popping up here anytime, you know? So I'm supposed to fucking spin plates like I'm trying out for fucking America's Got Talent or something. They're hitting the fucking red buzzers on me and shit over and over. What the fuck am I supposed to do? This is what you deal with, you know what I mean? Try hosting a fucking show by yourself, goddammit. Not easy, I'll tell you that much. Most people have co-hosts, extra stuff, other, you know, producers. Some people have producers, for Christ's sakes. Me, no. I do it all. I'm not good at spinning plates, so they break on the floor, and you guys have to sit there and listen to breakage. I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah, that's what that is. All right. Some more great radio coming your way. I'll keep typing. You guys keep listening. Just want to hear some punching of keys? Want to hear some tune into Yakuza Gig Radio every week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, the keys don't move that fast because I can't type for shit, so it's really not that serious. But what else? Right now, Kevin Nash is telling people how to hold on to the ropes if you can't lift your leg without falling. And, you know, doing a good job at doing that. So, you know, he's doing that. Just teaching people, hey, here's how to knock it over on national TV. Here's how to still make more money than everyone in the locker room while doing so. That's what Kevin Nash is doing, tell you that much. Good stuff. Good stuff. I don't know, people are learning anything over there. I'm learning on my fucking show not to listen to this shit anymore because I'm fucking... It's crazy, though, because when you know... See, that's the part, like, you see, you know, the past hour went kind of quick. I was bullshitting about a bunch of stuff. And then, you know, what happens? Here's how you break your knee, if you're giving that. You know, the first hour went pretty quick. I bullshit about a lot of stuff. But when it comes down to it, the hardest part about everything in this show and in doing the show is when you expect one thing to happen, it's really difficult to maneuver around that if you don't have that shit happen. You know what I mean? Like, when I had last week, in my opinion, other than the interview, I think that was a terrible show last week, and that's completely my fault. Now, Dave Chris was an hour late, granted. That part was his fault. But I should have had more material lined up so that way I can, you know, I could fill the time. Because when he didn't call in, I didn't know what the fuck to do with myself. And I sat there for an hour just like, luckily, you know, I had a couple callers. And we were able to, you know, bullshit through the time and get in there. And then eventually Dave came in. I loved the interview. By the time Dave's interview was over, I was, I was good. But, then I had G's call in, who was supposed to call in like long before and did, and actually just sat there and waited. And big shout out to him for that, because at that point I was just beat. I had no questions. I had nothing. That shit came off retarded, you know, and that was no fault of G's whatsoever. You know, again, thank him for calling in and waiting and being so patient and all of that, and me really having nothing to offer. So that was my own fault for lack of preparation, and this is, you know, what I do run into. It is something that you're going to run into, the ups and downs of internet radio when you're doing it by yourself. I guess, you know, when I had another person to converse with, at times it went easier. It did help, you know, but, what can you do? I do what I do, and I do it. That's all I can tell you. Oh, man. Jesus Christ. So, any minute. A little more beer. And then hopefully something will happen. All right. All right, well, shit. I'm going to try to work out this issue in about 30 seconds. If I don't hear anything, I'm going to play another fucking track. It's just going to be a music show. I'm going to turn this whole motherfucker into just music from top to bottom. Eventually, I'll get hit up for copyright infringement or some kind of bullshit. And it'll all be good. A lot of fun. I'll have to just take the show down afterwards and it'll be fine because no one was listening anyway. Oh, man. What else? Let me see. What the fuck? I know I got some kind of shit here.
Jesus Christ.
This is bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Damn right. There you go. Well, I get some of this to pass the time. Oh, yeah. That's what people like. Uh-huh. A little medley of this for a while. See what happens.
All I have in this world is
all
my
I have in this world. All I have in this world.
All I have in this world.
All I have in this world.
All I have in this
world. All I have in this
world. All I have in this world.
All I have in this world.
All I have in
all I have in
all I have in this world.
Because of his ROH contract, he can't
he can't be on iPay-per-views because Ring of Honor runs iPay-per-views, so he can't be on that type of thing like that. So from what I saw of the match, it was pretty good. They actually started the match where people were still in line and whatnot. So I saw a good amount of it, but it seemed like a pretty good match. Adam Cole went over, and afterwards he pretty much called DJ out, who was standing ringside looking like a douche in a suit. And he, said anyone he puts in front of him, he'll mow down and all of that stuff. So it seems as if Adam Cole will be turning face, pretty much telling DJ to give him all the competition in the world, and he'll take out anyone he puts in front of him, blah, 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 blah. So he goes out. Then we're talking the iPay-per-view starting. They announced all 13 participants, the whole thing. They had first match, Sami Callihan defeating Trent Seven, MK McKinnon, and Drake Younger. It was a four-way elimination match, one guy to advance. Let me just first say, because, I was pretty harsh on these England cats, and I'm not going to let up on being harsh on these England cats, because I don't think that they're any good. I don't think they're worth bringing in. I really don't. Was their performance better than the one in November? Sure. Like, how was it fucking hard to do that? Like, they botched almost every fucking spot they did in November. So when it comes to this, yeah, they didn't botch every spot, but I'd say the majority of them. It was not good. Their performances were not good. A lot of their offense looked like complete shit. So that was that. I also thought it was kind of stupid that they did a double elimination on a count out. So MK McKinnon and Drake Younger were counted out at the same time, and it just came down to Sammy and Trent Seven, who, I guess Trent Seven's best work that I've seen thus far was, up against Sammy, which, again, I don't know how hard that is to do. It's Sammy Callihan. So, that was that. Sammy won. Younger came back all mad to the ring and said that he couldn't beat him clean and all that stuff. So, that was the first match. And I am boggled to what the fuck happened to Fox, because, dude, I don't understand shit anymore. Next matchup, they had Alex Colon up against Willie Mack and Greg Excellent in the three-way. Greg came out with his Mountain Dew. And Alex Colon come out with a pineapple soda. And Willie Mack come out with a grape soda. And there was a point in the match. They took a break. They all took a drink of their soda. And then they hit the Benny Hill music. And they all ran around in and out of the ring. This and that. Eventually collided. One thing I got to say straight up. Willie Mack has incredible, incredible fucking speed for his size. Holy shit, he's fast. I'd really like to see this guy brought back more often. He just really liked his work. A lot of comedy in this match, but in the same token, a lot of good fucking, talented work in this match. Alex killed it. Greg killed it. Willie killed it. I mean, the match was very entertaining to me. I liked it quite a bit. Alex Colon ended up going over. One little guy against two big guys. He ended up coming out on top. I thought it was good. Next matchup, they had Samurai Del Sol defeating Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. This was pretty good. A lot of back and forth action. Samurai Del Sol has been like a really, really good guy to come into this company. They were in need of some new talent, and for a lucha guy like that, I mean, he's really very, very talented. So I was glad to see him do what he was doing. And Johnny, he's great. And Chuck Taylor, of course, great. Chuck Taylor, you got to love him, shouting himself out throughout the match. And like, Chuck Taylor, I believe in you, before he does a move and shit like this. Very entertaining dude.
I'm talking, but I'm also trying to message Fox, so see what happens here. So let me see. Now that was pretty good. And that's what they're doing. Then A.R. Fox defeated ACH and Lince Dorado. Man, ACH is fucking tremendously talented. I said it before when I was bigging him up for the stuff that he had done up against A.R. Fox that I watched. Leading up to Best of the Best, and they announced his name, and I said, "Whoa, who's this guy?" And I looked him up. He had a match against A.R. Fox, and I believe that was like Beyond Wrestling or something like that. Fucking great talent. And he went in there. He definitely showed his shit. Lince, he didn't fit in as well. Some things he did that I think were pretty unsafe, but I guess, we may or may not be able to talk about that in a little while with a guest or not have a guest, and I don't know. But A.R. Fox did his fucking thing in that match, and ended up coming out on top. So that was that. My last week's guest and a couple weeks ago's guest faced off next, and that was Dave Chris versus Jake Chris to become the CZW. Dave Chris ended up beating Jake to become the Wire champion. He ended up knocking out the ref and then kicking Dave Chris in the crotch twice. So that took him out. The ref came to, and he got the 1-2-3. He is the new Wired champion. I thought that was a great match. A lot of stiff stuff. It was, great brawl, and they did a lot of good stuff in there, too. Outside of brawling, I liked it quite a bit. This is bullshit. Next up, Sami Callihan defeated Alex Colon. Sami, after this match, put it over as, the hardest fight or the hardest battle he ever had to get through in Best of the Best thus far, despite being in it 3 years in a row and all of that. I highly disagree. I thought it was good. I didn't think there was a lot wrong with it, but I think Sami and Alex's first match that they had that led up before last Best of the Best, I thought that one was better. And I think no way in hell, if you're talking hard fought and harder to get through and all of that bullshit, no way is Sami and Sakimoto from last year not a harder fought battle. There's not a chance in hell. So I know they're boys and he's got to put them over and all of that stuff, but being real, I'm a pretty shoot style dude, so I'll tell it like I see it. Nothing wrong with the match, but you ain't touching that shit from last year. And, like I said, their first match was, in my opinion, far better. I mean, in the middle of a tournament, much harder. I mean, you got a lot to battle through. And if, anyone paying attention, that match that you had with Finley getting legit bust over with a headbutt from the day before, that was the day before in Canada. And then he had to come back to Jersey, to wage war in this fucking Best of the Best. So, you really can't give the guy a lot of shit for what he went through and everything like that. Next up, you had A.R. Fox defeating Samurai Del Sol. Great fucking match. In that first match, too, Fox, he suffered a cut and a busted eardrum in his ear, and he's bleeding out of his ear. You've really never seen anything like this before. And he continued to go forward and, went through it. Samurai Del Sol ended up winning that match, too. So, you had your finals, and that was Sami and A.R. Fox in the finals. But before that, you had Drew Gulak and
and Danny Havoc doing a. Hold on. Got a. So yeah, I that was that. Getting really disgruntled at this point. They had the contract signing and all that. Danny ran in, he hit him with a barbed wire bat, whatever the case is. Drew Bled, it's the first time, you know, me and probably many other people saw Drew Bled, and the result of that is he's gonna face off in a no rope barbed wire. At, you know, at the next show in Philly, which is May 12th. And check czwrestling.com for the all the breakdown on that. So, yeah, no rope barbed wire with Drew Gulak. Who'd have thought? So, yeah, that's what's going to go down. Then they had the Bulldozer Matt Tremont up against Clint Margera, who... DJ Hyde was supposed to wrestle Tremont, and that didn't happen. He came out and said, no, I said, you're, I don't know what the fuck, stupid fucking angle. And, like, honestly, like, they're going to build, slow build to DJ and Tremont, and nobody gives a fuck about seeing DJ and Tremont. So, keep building, guys. I can't wait. Can't fucking wait. Like, go fuck yourself, whatever. Tremont's fucking awesome, and like I said before, everybody who has any type of buzz, DJ's got to throw himself in their fucking way and make sure he feuds with them. That's just what he does. You know, he did it with Sammy, planted seeds for doing it with fucking Mia Yim when she got over on the fucking tables, ladders, and chairs with Greg. Now she said she'll take him, so I'm sure that's going to be a scheduled match before fucking Tremont gets him. And, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. But, what else? Christ's sakes. So, yeah, they replaced him with this Clint Margera guy. This guy looked like a small fucking Corporal Robinson. He looked like a little-ass Corporal Robinson compared to he had a very, very similar look. But he did pretty well. They beat the shit out of each other, and I guess he's from Fight Club Pro. And, yeah, they beat the shit out of each other. Then Tremont said, hey, I want to fight you anyway, Deej. Fucking let's go. Whatever. And he said, nah, you know, maybe I'll fight you. And he's like, nah, you know what? I'll accept the match under one condition. And he's like, well, you got to win Tournament of Death. Which is a stupid fucking stipulation. Oh, man. I don't know what fucking... I don't know where he comes up with these bookings from. But it's got to be the dumbest shit I've ever heard of. Just to put that out there. I don't get it. You just got to win an entire tournament to fight me. So now when the face is supposed to win an entire tournament to fight the other guy... What most likely happens in this situation all the time? Like, oh, stop exposing this shit. I understand that, you know, fucking Tremont is probably, you know, one of the favorites to win this shit, Tournament of Death this year, and it'd be great because he deserves it. He fucking busts his ass. But, yeah, I'm going to fight you, which no one wants to see, if you win Tournament of Death. So Tournament of Death will be far better than anything that you two can do in the ring. No discredit to Matt Tremont, and then, oh my God, he gets to fight DJ. Like, who gives a fuck? He gets to fight, in the first round, Abdullah Kobayashi, they announced. That is fucking phenomenal. There is not a lot better that you can do than putting him in there against Abdullah Kobayashi. I would make it a second round match myself. Because that's so huge, you want to see Kobayashi in more than one match, and you sure as shit want to see Tremont in more than one match, especially with the build. Well, when all that's said and done, okay, so we get that, but one of those guys is not going to be in the second round. That's a fucking crime. So, especially as, you know, as hurt as the deathmatch wrestling scene is these days, we've lost a lot of people through different circumstances, and believe me, we need these guys in the fucking second round and finals and stuff like that, and you're bringing them in. I don't know. I don't get it. Well, oh, man, in the finals, you got Sammy Callahan versus A.R. Fox, and they fucking killed each other. I can't say enough about this match. Fox, you know, had the injured ear, and Sammy just brutalized it. Like, he really didn't let up, and he was just Sammy. He was just the most brutal Sammy Callahan that you can possibly ask for. He was fucking vicious, and he kept going at the ear and at that side of the head and just knocking the shit out of him. There was a swanton to the outside that fucking dive that he took, and Fox cleared the guardrail with just nobody in his, just fucking landed on the floor. Just, oh my God, it was fucking brutal. You just heard a huge thump and he just hit the floor. So it's just crazy. And if you watch down the end stretch of the match, a couple of the clotheslines that Sammy hit, one after another. I mean, Fox was just taking just clotheslines to the neck, just landing on his head over and over, and just nothing stopped him from going, man. The heart that he showed in this tournament was just tremendous. And I got to give a huge shout-out to him. I sure should expected to give this shout-out to him fucking live in an interview and all of that, but as minutes go on, I would have to say that that's not going to fucking happen. And I'm not even going to. So that was that. Sammy ended up winning the tournament. You know, Drake got in his face after it. He was pretty much calling everybody out, saying he doesn't give a fuck about anybody. He's calling everybody out. He, spitting, I don't know, fucking five people's faces or some shit. He was big on spitting that night. Sammy usually is, but yeah, he was all loaded up that night with spitting. And he told Fox he didn't respect him and he wished he would have killed him and da da da. And then, him and Drake got in each other's face and, Drake challenged him to a rematch on May 5th, and DJ Hyde said it's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match. Ultraviolent rules being the third fall. So that's going to be in Indiana. Sammy Callahan versus Drake Younger, 2 out of 3 falls. I'm sure that's going to be fucking epic. And then Fox won the fans vote, where DJ said, I don't have any plaques or any of that shit, but I'll give you a title shot at any championship at any time over the course of the year. So he has that. He has more or less money in the bank and shit. And I thought it was a great tournament. I didn't see a whole lot wrong with it at all. A lot of exciting stuff. A lot of guys you'd love to see back. And, what more can you say? I everybody out there should go and cop that. And, hopefully you like it. I enjoyed it immensely. And, that's that. Well, what I'm going to do, get my last chance, because I really want to try to stretch this shit to 2 hours. So what I'm going to do is really just going to fucking end the show after the CZW shit if I didn't get a call, which I didn't. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play another track. Surprise. All you rap fans, or all you non-rap fans, are really loving me tonight. What's new? You know, this is what I would, this is what I do. So I'm going to hit this track. After this track, anybody else wants to call in, you can call in. We'll chat it up. Obviously, a guest calls in. That would be much fucking appreciated. If not, I'll shoot a little more bullshit, and I'll call it a night. But here's this track, and then we'll be back after this.
The block pop so they strip for. Rocks got a fist for. Bull pop shit, that hot shit I got a clip for. When I start sparking, it be barking like pit bulls. Matter of fact, rock wallers when I let them shot holler. Chicks on my cock, I'm still on the block holler. Cops on the block, they still gon' cop holler. I got this and that's why I got dollars. I was told the rules, I'm old school like my pop father. I was showed the moves. Schooled by the older dudes, how to show a food. So I move like a soldier move. Real militant, I'm real, still killing it. I'm real, guys are paralyzed, I'm still killing it. Yeah, I'm still on my feet and my toes. Getting high than the president, you sweet at the nose. Getting high than the nose, please see to my shows. Fuck a Maybach, I'm taking that seat to the rose. Fuck a GT, I pull up in the CLS. The guts off like my female breast. Is it a V12? Yes. I cop the incomparable, nigga. You can't stop the unstoppable, nigga. I'll pop a shot for you, niggas. And I was like a pop for you, niggas. I gave you a flow, adopted you, niggas. I did a lot for you, niggas. And this the fucking thanks I get. You my son, you should thank my dick. You take my shit, listened around, and now you think you sick. I guess you think you cash, but I think you trash. And I spank that ass, you ain't fucking with me. You wouldn't even rap like that if it wasn't for me. Wow. I been had my way up. How you gon' battle me with a style that I made up? Wow, when I'm home it's envy. I'm feeling like the boy when he was on the phone with you. Wow, what the fuck is going on out here? What the fuck is niggas doing out here? Niggas drawn out here. Your block hot, I put a drawn out there. My block hot, this shit warm out there. So we going out there. Set a shot and get it on out there. I'm on point like a thorn out here. Come to Philly, I'm a drawn out here. Yeah, you know I'm a boss dog. Nah, this ain't outside. It's Lacoste dog. I floss dog and I stay with my jewels on. You probably wouldn't see this much ice in the hellstorm. It's nothing to flash. But fucking with Chaz to get you bucked or fucking the ass. It's just only a handful of rappers that's touching the cash. And most of them getting fucked in their ass. The snakes up in the grass. The cash gon' blast when the beat is on. I walk with the shells and I ain't got no Adidas on. And I squeeze the joint even if the law watching. I'm too hard to rap. Version of Bernard Hopkins, nigga, Cassidy, bitch, scream at me.
Yeah, so that's what it is. If anyone would like to call in, chat it up on whatever the topic is, whether it be Raw, whether it be the best of the best, whether it be whatever the fuck, I don't give a fuck, because I'm going to give it a couple more minutes, and I'm going to call the show, because obviously my guest isn't calling in, and, you know, that's par for the course, just so I'm saying, like, it's not easy. I do my best to get all this shit popping, everything like that. Like I said, at 10 o'clock when this show, when the interview was scheduled for 10 o'clock tonight, when 10 o'clock hit, I got a message from him saying, I'm about to call in. What do? I said, just call in. I'll introduce you after the song. Song ended, nothing. No more response, no nothing. So, and I hit him with the number again. I was like, where are you at? Da, da, da. Kept stopping, kept fucking trying to type. All this shit because I don't multitask well, but this is what it is. I have no way to describe it otherwise for, you know, those who listen because they wanted to hear A.R. Fox. Believe me, I fucking sympathize with you. I wanted to hear A.R. Fox on here too, and that's why I booked him on the show. I mean, the fact that he decided not to show, nah, that's his call. That's completely his call. Especially, you know, I've had people that just forgot or they got caught up in something or whatever the case is. But, you know, this is not the case because he hit me up at 10 o'clock and said, yo, I'm about to call. So it's not like he forgot. He hit me up at the time he was supposed to call to say he was going to call. So I got nowhere else to go with that. I don't understand people. I don't understand where people, you know, make plans and don't get to them. There's some other people I mean, there's a lot, and let me be completely honest about this, and I'm not going to address this in any different way than I was going to, see, because I wanted to address this without AR Fox on the line. I plan on being completely respectful and doing a normal interview with AR Fox. I still have some shit to say about the situation surrounding Fox. Anybody who's been on the internet, searched the internet, the whole shit like that, knows what the fuck I'm talking about. And again, I'm not going to get into some specifics, but there's been some controversy surrounding AR Fox on the internet. Now, when I first heard it, it came from a bunch of negative comments out of Nick Burke, because there was someone else giving praise to AR Fox for his tremendous performance in Best of the Best. And, you know, I was chiming in everything like, yeah, dude's got heart. He's got crazy heart. You know, this guy's ripping it up. You know what I mean? Like, he's the shit. And all of a sudden, Nick Burke started chiming in with all sorts of other shit. Now, the shit he was chiming in with was, like, pretty outlandish. Like, you just don't hear that shit every day. So, my first thought is, like, he's just starting rumors and he's just talking shit and all of this. So, my first thought was, man, this guy's a fucking asshole. Because why would you wait until somebody does some phenomenal shit to start talking shit about them? Or stop bringing up negatives the second somebody starts getting real positive or starts doing something real positive and, you know, and goes through a phenomenal amount of punishment and then comes out on top, you know, and still looks like a fucking beast. Just goes through all this shit and people are like, wow, what a performance, wow, what a performance, and you're the first one with your hand in the air with some negative shit. I think that's a fucked up move. And I'll wrap it back around and retrospect the whole shit, even though what came off of that is like, I'm my guy, yo, fuck him, whatever. Then a couple of days later, I hear some more shit from completely different people. That's the same thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? So they direct me towards, apparently CZW fans got a new message board or some dumb shit. So I go over there and they're talking all the same shit. So I'm like, oh, fuck. So now I'm like, I need proof, man, because I ain't trying to hear that shit. You know what I mean? Like, people ain't just going to start this fucking rumor up of me. I don't just believe shit that people say. So I ended up finding the proof, and as far as I'm concerned, it's 100% true. Having said that, Nick Burke is still completely unprofessional for being a guy who's supposedly be in the business to bring up a negative, to bring up something that would be frowned upon by majority of people, and putting that out there for no other reason but to bring this motherfucker down off of, you know, the high that he was going through on a great performance and working through an injury and all that shit and showing all sorts of heart. Now, when that shit was done, you know, in retrospect, saying, okay, everything on the table, that shit is true. Straight up. I seen it. That shit is true. It's fucking crazy. It stunned the fuck out of me. I didn't expect that shit whatsoever, but it is what it is. The dude is a fucking beast of an athlete. He's a phenomenal athlete. He does some shit in that ring that I ain't ever seen before. Anybody else who's watched wrestling says the same fucking thing when they see this guy. He's amazing. He's fucking amazing. So my intention was always to have him on the show and do a straight-up interview. And, of course, the same way I'm talking right now was the same way I was going to ask him towards the end of the interview. Do you have anything to say about the controversy online? Again, I'm not getting into specifics because if that's not some shit that he wants to air, then that's not some shit he needs to air. But I'll tell you straight up, being in an independent wrestling business, it's going to come up a lot. And they're not going to be as fucking polite as I have. You know what I mean? So that being what it is, like I said, Nick Burke is unprofessional for coming off like that. I think it was a terrible decision to do what he did, Fox, I mean, because it's going to hurt his career in a lot of ways in the future, and I really wish it wouldn't, but I think there's some opportunities that he could get in the future because of his talent level that are going to be diminished by that. And again, this isn't something I was going to heavily shine on the interview. This is stuff that I have to say regardless, because I'm not just going to bite my tongue, because I'm not a bite my tongue type person. I'm a respectable dude where I feel necessary, but I'm also not a bite my tongue type person. The shit he did is fucking crazy. Like, it's crazy shit. Like, so, and in the age of the internet, there's no way to do something like that without getting known, without getting found out, or without getting seen, heard about, spread around, whatever the case is. So, I don't know where to, you know, there's no keeping that shit to yourself or anything like that. And there's only so long you can go and, I don't want to talk about it. And that's fine. If he don't never, ever have to talk about it, but he's going to deal with the, you know, repercussions of what the action he took is going to be repercussions. And that's not anyone's fault but himself. Having said that, it's still a tremendous, tremendous performer. And I hope that he can be viewed as that, with the other stuff aside. Because honestly, I don't care what he does to that, you know, to that extent, to that side of things. I don't care what he does. I respect him as an athlete and a performer. And I mean, I wish him the fucking best in the world. I wish I could have did the interview with him tonight. Maybe we'll get him on in the future. I don't know. But I mean, he kind of flaked the fuck out on me tonight, so I really don't know what to take out of that. I also know, and something I take a little bit of offense to, that I kind of get a weird feeling about, is I got a message tonight, and fuck it. I got a message tonight from Brett Lauderdale asking if I had AR Fox on tonight, which I've been promoting all fucking week, so of course I do. So I said, yeah. Then he goes, you ain't going to ask him about such and such, are you? I said, nah, dude, that ain't really my focus in this and this. So, all of a sudden, it comes time for him to call in, and fucking, and Brett tells me, too, like, you know, when I first talked to him, he said, oh, you know, I'm just saying because I don't think he wants to talk about that, so, you know, if that's what you want to do, then you might want to clear it with him first. Because now he's his little fucking road agent and shit, right? So, first off, I conduct my interview the way I fucking want to, number one. Number two, as I said, that was not my focus. And I already fucking told Fox that shit. Straight off the motherfucking jump when I booked him on this motherfucker. So, if Brett ran back and fucking told Fox some shit like, oh, he's gonna, then that's some bullshit. That's some bitch shit. If he ran back and did that shit, I don't know if he did for sure, but it's the only thing I can link to somebody pulling out last minute. If he did that, that's some bitch shit. And I'll tell him to his face, if that's exactly what he did, that's exactly what I'll tell him, and that's fucked up. If he didn't, I apologize, but honestly, the way he came at me was just like, yo, I want to know, you know, what's this? What are you gonna ask him that shit? And, you know, I told him. I said, that's not my focus, man. I want to have a normal fucking interview and this and that. But, you know, not to point fingers, none of that stuff, but I have my suspicions. You know what I mean? I'm not really sure how to feel about shit like that. You know, when someone's planning on coming on your shit, you got one of his friends and stuff pop up, well, you ain't going to ask him about that, are you? Because I don't think he would like that. Da, da, da. Later on, dude doesn't show up. So that's fucked up. That's completely fucked up. So I don't know what the case is. I know I don't really take it that well. Like I said, the whole situation is crazy as fuck. And then, you know, I don't know a lot more to say about it. I really don't. You know, what else can I say? Fuck it. So, yeah. I think I'm pretty much about to wrap this show up in a minute. Did I play that? I don't know if I played that. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't know. I ain't got anything else. But yeah, shout out John Gray, Real Side Media. All that shit. Shout out Yolanda, Gimmick Tees, whatever the fuck. Check me next Thursday. I guess I'll probably be doing some mini soap bullshit to fuck around with the iPad.
or whatever. So, I'll check you motherfuckers out next week and shit.
What up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I have a lot of other nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're